How many of you really believe that it is better to have the favor of God? It is better to have the favor of God than it is all the money in the world. How many of you really believe it's better to have the favor of God than all the friends in the world? How many of you really believe that it's the favor of God than have all the position and power in the world? Because if you've got God's favor, you've got all that and some. In the name of Jesus. We thank the Lord today. We thank the Lord today for this choir. Not only this choir, but these choirs. I thank God that they always lift up the name of the Lord in song. And I am ecstatic about the accompaniment of our new flag ministry. Give God a big praise offering for them. As you stand to your feet, won't you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, Old Testament book. First Kings, chapter number 10. And we're going to read a few verses out of that 10th chapter for us today. First Kings, chapter number 10, starting in verse number 1. Amen. As you're turning there, I do want to just keep reiterating my excitement about next week's women's culmination season. The Reverend Dr. Lanice Bias is going to preach at 8 o'clock, and many of you will recognize the name of the late Lynn Bias, famous University of Maryland basketball star who was drafted by the Boston Celtics, who just days before his arriving at camp in Massachusetts died of a cocaine overdose. And many might remember it was really Lynn Bias's death that became the catalyst to what has then become the mass incarceration of young black men between the ages of 18 and 25. And so the distinction between powder cocaine and crack cocaine came in rapid succession tied to Lynn's death. And so his mother travels the world now speaking about the rise in the drug epidemic, and the rise in mass incarceration for young black men. And so she'll be preaching at 8 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock will be the Reverend Dr. Cheryl Dudley, the executive minister over American Baptist Churches of New York. So we're in for a great treat next Sunday. Do come to both services if you can. I think you will be blessed, all right? Say amen. We've located 1 Kings, chapter number 10. I wanted to read starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, their apparel, his cupbearers, his entryway, by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes.'" Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. Would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, "Blessed Be the Queen." Blessed be the Queen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that these words would not return void, but indeed that they may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted, I pray. Have your way here today, oh God, that somebody, even on Mother's Day, might get saved. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Mother's Day is one of those sermonic experiences where it's both hard and easy at the same time to preach. It's easy because the Bible is replete with a number of stories about amazing women, any of whom can be lifted up on Mother's Day to celebrate the wonderful gifts that all of you women, particularly you mothers, biological and spiritual, are to the body of Christ. And it is difficult because over 17, 18 years of ministry, you have, may have preached about 18 or 19 different ones of these women in the Bible. And you always have to go back, and I always have to go back and say, did I already preach about this one to our congregation? But no matter how often we preach a text, as I often say to preachers, you can never exhaust a particular text. There's always meat on the bone, as they say. There's always something to be excavated, exegeted out of God's word, no matter how many times you look at the text, speak about the text, research the text. And so today's text, I know I've preached about the Queen of Sheba before, but today's text is about this amazing woman called the Queen from the region of Sheba. Some say Sheba, others say Sheba, whichever your pronunciation, it is not her last name. Amen, somebody. She is the queen whose name we actually don't know, from the region of Sheba. We believe that that region encompasses what is today modern-day Ethiopia, modern-day Sudan, modern-day Egypt, kind of that southern Egypt, northern Ethiopian kind of region of the northwest corner just before the Horn of Africa. And so that region, Sheba, dictates that this woman was a woman of color. No offense to European, Asian, Hispanic, Latino women, but this woman is believed to be a black woman. I say that because black women, black men, black people are often minimized in terms of the presence of African descended people in the Bible. And I'm a big believer that you cannot speak about God's word without referencing the black presence in the Bible. One of the famed researchers on this topic is the Reverend Dr. Cain Hope Felder, professor of Old Testament and Biblical Theology at Howard Divinity School in Washington, D.C. Dr. Felder, whom we've had here at our church before, has written many texts about the black presence in the Bible. And he would articulate that the black presence has been minimized because often the gospel of Jesus Christ has been presented through a Western Eurocentric vantage point or angle that then inherently discards people of color and elevates that which is European. Now, if anyone knows anything about biblical text, there's very little reference to Europe in the Bible. What is referenced is the Middle East. What is referenced is Northern Africa. What is referenced is Egypt. For there was a little biracial, bicultural child by the name of Moses who was set down the river floating, down the River Nile in Egypt. There was a group of people who came from Israel, sold off into slavery, and grew in number called the Israelites who were in Egypt. Joseph, the second to the youngest of Jacob's 12 boys, was sold off into slavery, made the second in command over all of the nation of Egypt. And there are stories after story after story of African and African-descended people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. No coincidence that Jesus's mother and his stepdaddy, Joseph, took refuge in Egypt while Herod was waiting, or while they waited for Herod to die. So I simply declare and suggest that that Egypt itself and Africa has great mentionings in the Word of God, and we as a people ought to celebrate and acknowledge the black presence in the Bible without guilt or shame or exclusion from anybody else. Amen, somebody. And so this woman was a black woman. She was a black woman who was a queen. And I thought that was going to get some kind of response from the black women in the audience. Come on, somebody. A black woman who was not only a queen, but who was also the head of state of a nation in this region called Sheba. Now, I'm going to ask if we would that all of the mothers, the biological and even spiritual mothers would just stand to your feet, because on this Mother's Day, we just want to pause to celebrate you and to acknowledge you, whether you've given birth to a child biologically, whether you've nurtured other folks' children as a stepmother, as a foster mother, as an adoptive mother. Let's celebrate the women of our congregation, the mothers of our church. You all are queens. And one of the first things I want to say to you is that you are royal in God's sight. Amen, somebody. And let me say that again, because we are living in an age where young black boys have made millions of dollars out of denigrating and disrespecting black women by in their music and entertainment. And we need to remind those young black boys that God has not created women who are known by letters. I can't go there on Mother's Day, but if I was in another venue, I'd say it, because we have allowed our women and our girls to be disrespected and denigrated. We need to help our young boys understand you don't disrespect the woman who brought you into this world. The sad reality is that we now have young girls and women rappers who are using the same names to denigrate not only other women, but to denigrate themselves. And we need to remind those young boys and young girls that God has not made any junk, and God has not made any women who are known by the alphabet, and that God has only created women of royalty and beauty. Mind every woman in this congregation and every girl in this congregation, you are known by the Spirit of the living God that is within you, and not by anything that is wrapped around you or that is on you. You are known by who you are and whose you are. And the Queen of Sheba reminds me of this reality, because she was royal. She was, after all, a queen. She was royal. And I got to thinking about the difference between royalty and regality. For you see, to be regal, defined is to be of or related to royalty. But to be royal is to be of or related to the greatness that you have by descendants of your birth. Let me say that one more time. To be regal is, in other words, to be celebrated by what you have on you or what's outside of you. Wow, that's a regal dress she is wearing. Wow, that hat gives her a look of regality. Wow, that makeup, that presence, that package, it looks regal on her. But how many of you know women ought not be defined by what's on them, but instead they should be defined by what's in them? And so to be royal is to be descendant from royalty by birth. And I can just use that as the juxtaposition of what it means to be a child of the Most High God. To be a Christian is not what's on top of you or what's on you, but to be a Christian is by your royal birth, that you have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness here today? Does anybody understand that when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Nicodemus did not quite understand what Jesus was talking about. But Nicodemus said, do I have to go back in my mama's womb to be born again? Jesus said, no, you don't have to be born in your mama's womb. But when you are born by spirit and with water, you are born again. Let me help someone again. It's still not coming out clear that when you come to know Jesus, it's not by what's on the outside that makes you a Christian. It is by the birth that you have been given, because Lord washed you up and picked you up and made you a new living creature. You have been born again, and because of your royal birth, you are a child of the Most High God. You are royal, not because of what's on you, but what's inside of you. Not because of what's inside of you, but because of who is inside of you. The queen of Sheba was royal because she was descended from royalty. Now, to be sure, she had a lot of money. She was a ruler. And much like Queen B now, Miss Beyonce. Lord help me referencing Beyonce in the sermon, but you know, couldn't help it. Queen B. Queen of Sheba had money, influence, and power. How do we know? Because number one, when she comes to Solomon, the great king that he is, she comes bringing her own definition of power and demonstration of wealth. Verse number 2 in chapter 10 says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices and much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So you see, this woman's story is told in two different places. It is referenced in this chapter of 1 Kings chapter 10, but is also referenced in 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. Both stories tell the same thing, that this woman in her region, thousands of miles away from Solomon, had heard not only about Solomon's great wealth, but she also heard about Solomon's wisdom. She understood that Solomon had something about his relationship with the divine that she didn't quite understand. So she had some questions, for she in her own right was educated, erudite, and intellectual. She had her own understanding. It does not tell me what kind of God she believed in. But what it does tell me was that Solomon's God was intriguing enough for her to get all of her camels and a little bit of her camels and some of her money, and travel up the route of the Nile to get to Solomon, thousands of miles away. Can I just help someone on that point? You and I ought to have a witness that causes folk to be so intrigued that they want to get in their car, they want to get on their plane, they want to get on their boat and travel to where we are, because we are telling something about God that they've never heard before. We ought to want to make folk be so engendered with curiosity. I got to know what's going on with this God that Billy's talking about. I've got to know what's going on with this God that they're waving flags about. I've got to know what's going on about this God that Betty ready and the choir is singing about. What is it about our God that would cause a woman who does not yet know our God to be so intrigued that she would get on camels and a very large retinue of her wealth and carry that all the way to Solomon's temple? She comes and she's got some questions. And her questions are such that she wants to know about this God. For you see, the Bible is clear. It does not say that she only wants to know about his wealth. But look at what verse number 2 says. It says that she came to Jerusalem with this great retinue, spoke with Solomon about all that was in her heart. If you go up to verse number 1, she says, the text says that she was concerning the things Solomon was, the fame that she heard of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And so Solomon was not just dealing with his wealth, but it was also dealing with his relationship to God. And so this woman was intrigued by Solomon's relationship with God. She comes. She asked her questions. And this Bible says that Solomon answered her questions, every single one of them. And as he answered them, that she had no more questions, and so much so that the Bible says that the Spirit, verse number 5, that she was so exasperated by the answers and what she had experienced that there was no more spirit in her. As if to say that she was so overwhelmed by what she witnessed and what she saw. She was so taken aback by what she experienced in Solomon's court about his relationship with God and how it played itself out in all of his wealth and all of his organization, all of his administration, that she who was a great ruler in her own right, she who was a great administrator in her own right, she who was a great leader in her own right, the Bible says she was exasperated. She was overwhelmed by what she saw, heard, and experienced. And the Bible says that this experience eventuated and culminated that she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom." This brings me to my third and final point, that what is it that for which the Queen of Sheba is remembered? What is it? Why do we know her name so well thousands of years later? I would suggest to the women sitting in this audience that you who have given birth to children and raised children, whether yours biologically or someone else's, that you will be remembered by the love and the respect that you have engendered because of what you have imparted into those whom you have loved. That you will be remembered by your children whom you've nurtured when they could not do for themselves. That you will be remembered by that young boy who grows up to be what you prayed him to be, and that young girl who grows into her womanhood and you prayed her through her storms and her trials. You will be remembered by investing in the next generation of children who've come behind you. You will be remembered, my sisters in this congregation, by the love that you have imparted to those who are coming up behind you. And so don't ever think your labor is in vain. And if we had 360 Mother's Day, there would not be enough to say thank you, because every day we ought to thank our mamas who carried us around for 7, 8, 9 months. Come on, somebody. Back a little bit broken because of us. Can I say that again? Back hurting and legs, whatever, because they had to carry us. Thank God for mama. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for grandmamas who have helped us to get to where we are. And
So what is it that you're remembered for? You're remembered for what you invest in other folk. You know, we often cite Maya Angelou's famous statement that people will forget what you said, and people will forget what you do even, but no one will ever forget how you made them feel. Mamas have this unique gift to make us feel, right? Make us feel wanted, make us feel nurtured. And even if biological mama wasn't there to provide that, I believe if we think hard enough that God sends somebody into our life to be that maternal figure who helped us when we could not help ourselves, wiped our noses when we could not wipe our noses, changed our diapers when we could not change our diapers, cooked our food when we could not cook our own food. Thank God for mama. Thank God for mama. But this woman will be remembered not for being a great mother or a great queen. I don't know if she had kids, but I do know that she apparently was a great queen. But here is the seminal reason we will remember this woman from who is a queen and from the region of Sheba. We will remember her because she carried the gospel. The word of God, I should say, from where she found it back to from whence she's come. Can I just say that one more time? She goes up to Israel. She receives from Solomon the word of the Lord. Remember, it's not about his wealth per se. It's not about his administration, his temple. All of that was great. But she was intrigued by the Lord. Solomon's relationship with the Lord. And the Bible suggests that after she got all of this, she also took the word that Solomon had from God and took it back down into Egypt from when she had come. Can I just help somebody? That gets me excited, because I don't care about your money. I don't care about your clothes. I don't care about your car. I don't care about your house. I don't care about your friends. But I do care if you've got the word of God, because it's the word of God that'll give me life. It's the word of God that will give me hope. It's the word of God that'll be my strength. It's the word of God that'll be my light in the midst of darkness. It's God's word. And the Bible says, the Bible suggests that she heard Solomon's word, and she said, that excites me. She takes Solomon's word and she takes it back from where she came from. I need somebody here who don't mind picking up God's word and taking it back to where you came from. You don't get it, do you? Some of y'all came from messed up situations. Pick up God's word and take it back. Some of y'all came from broken families. Pick up God's word and take it back. Some of y'all came from daddies who were not there. Pick up God's word. Take it back. Some of y'all came from mamas who gave you up. Pick up God's word. Take it back. Some of y'all came from families that disowned you. Pick up God's word. Take it back. Some of y'all came from friends who put knives in your back. Pick up God's word. Take it back. Tell them there is a God who can do everything but fail. Tell them there is a God who can move mountains, build bridges, heal the brokenhearted, heal the sick. Feed the dead, heal the dead. Tell them there is a God. What I love about the queen is that she took God's word back to where she came from. And if I can just let you in biblically, man, this helped me so much when I learned this. When I read the book of Acts, put the screen up. Acts chapter 8. I'm reading about a man by the name of Philip. This is after Jesus. This is now in the era of Paul and Peter establishing the church of Jesus Christ. And Philip, one of the believers, encounters a man who is a eunuch in the court of Candace. We know her name. Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And what is this eunuch reading? He's reading the Torah. He's reading the book of Isaiah. I shouldn't say the Torah. He's reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet of the great man of God. Now, the question has to be, where did this African, can I help you? This Ethiopian, where did he get the book of Isaiah? Did it just pop up? Did it just mysteriously appear? No, the tradition suggests historically and biblically that he is reading the scroll of Isaiah because of this woman by the name of Sheba who got it from Solomon and took it back from Israel all the way back down into the region of Sheba. Some of y'all need to understand that some folk won't get God's word unless you take it back. They're not going to come into the church unless you take the church out of the church and take it back to where they are. They're not going to dress up in suits. They're not going to dress up in jackets. They're not going to dress up in dresses. You've got to take God's word back to where you came from. Now let me just stop right there. I said it and I mean it. Back to where you came from. Can I say it again? Some of y'all think y'all jumped out the womb reading Isaiah. No. You better take it back to where you came from. Some of y'all here, let me take it off. Let me take it off. Amen. Let me take it all off. Come on. Some of y'all need to remember that you used to smoke it, you used to drink it, you used to go there. You need to take God's word back from where you came from. You weren't always singing in the choir. You weren't always on the deacon's board. You need to take God's word. Take it back to where you came from. You need to reclaim where you came from. Because where you came from does not define you. Reclaim it and take God's word back there. There's some drug dealers you used to smoke with who you need to take God's word back to. There's some gamblers you used to gamble with. You need to take God's word back to. There's some alcoholics you used to drink with. Come on, somebody. You need to take the word. Take it back. So that they may find that the same God that blessed you is the same God that wants to bless them. This woman is remembered. Not so much for her wealth. Not so much for her fame, not so much for her great retinue. She is remembered because she took God's word from Israel back down to Egypt and Ethiopia, so that years later, thousands of years later, this Ethiopian eunuch can read the book of Isaiah. And a man by the name of Philip can just be passing by. And he says, I want to be baptized. And there was no water in the desert. But don't you know God make water appear where there is no water? And the Bible says that man got baptized. God wants to save some folk. And he wants to save them through your faithfulness. And on Mother's Day, I declare that God's got a work for you to do, to take his word back, to the place from which you've come. I thank the Lord today, mothers. You have invested in your children. Now it is theirs to take God's word, that which you gave them, take it back and to take it forward, that the name of the Lord might be praised. Now, I celebrate this woman, the Queen of Sheba, just as I celebrate you. But this message isn't just for mothers. It's for every single one of us. Because I want to show you something in the text that blew me away. The Bible says in going back to 1 Kings chapter number 10. It says that she, in verse number 7. It says, however, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. See, there's some things you're not going to be able to believe until you go and see it with your own eyes. God is looking for some eyewitnesses who don't just say, I know what he did for my mama, but I need some eyewitnesses who can all say, I know what he did for me. Do I have any eyewitnesses here today who've got their own testimony? I know he's a mountain mover. I know he's a heavy load carrier. I know he's a low, heavy load bearer. I know he can build bridges. I know it because I saw him do it for my mama, but I also know what he did for me. He did it for me. Do I have a witness here today? With my own eyes, I have seen what the Lord has done. God's blessings be upon you, mother. Look at your grandchildren. Look at your children. Look at your family. Great things he has done. But look at what he's done in you, for you, and through you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. One more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Everyone standing to their feet. I want to ask the deacons and deaconess clergy to help me extend the invitation. I want to just ask folk to pause for a moment and bow your heads as we pray for God's blessings upon this invitation. Father, I thank you for sending your word. Your word that is living, true, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that your word would not return void, but that it may save somebody today. In Jesus' name, on Mother's Day, save somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The choir's going to sing. Before they do, two invitations. Number one is if you don't have a church home, you already know Jesus, and you don't have a church home, we would love to have you become a member of this congregation. We're not perfect. There is no perfect congregation. But I can tell you this. We love the Lord. We love his word. And we're doing our best to love his people. And so if you're looking for that kind of church, we would love to have you be a part of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Number two is that if you don't know Jesus and you are wrestling with this relationship with God through his son Jesus, I want to let you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so I want to invite you to come forward today. Look at God. We have some little ones coming. Mothers, if the mothers are here, Deaconess Henderson, if the mothers are here, make sure the mother or the caregiver is with them. All right. Let the caregivers come up with them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give God a praise offering for the young people. And is the mother? Come on, mom. Come on. God bless you. Come on, little people. I love it. Love it. Wonderful. Wonderful. Go down with them, Sister Miata. All right. Is there another coming down? Amen. Look at God. Let's go. Let's give God a praise offering for our sister. Amen. We've got some more coming. We have some more coming. Got some more. How you doing, Liv? Look at God. Y'all give it up for Sean. Sean's coming to join with us today. Amen. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Go ahead and sing, choir. Go ahead and sing. As the song is extended, we want to extend the invitation. Anybody else today? Oh, Lord. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Come on, look at God today. Look at God. Look at God. Got a brother coming. Y'all give it up. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Got a mother and a daughter. A mother and a son coming. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?
My territory.
Anybody else? Anybody else? God is calling somebody else. On Mother's Day. No better day to get saved than on Mother's Day. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God move. Look at God move. Enlarge.
Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Oh Lord.
Look at God. Look at God. Is there someone else? Someone else. Someone else today. Someone else today. Come on, sing it again, choir.